How much does LSU football have to prove this upcoming season? And which players on LSU's team have the most to prove? We'll get into that plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We're on your preferred podcast platform. We're on YouTube. So like, review, rate, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Appreciate you for being here and for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. My name is Caroline Fenton. I appreciate you for being here. You can find me at CarolineFenton1 on Twitter, or you can follow along with podcast updates at Locked On LSU on Twitter. Before I get into what LSU football really has to prove in the 2023 season, I got to let y'all know that today's episode of Locked On LSU is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook partner of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So I was looking through ESPN.com. I always like to see, you know, especially this time of year with college football, NFL, just football as a whole, a lot of it is just like talk season. It's speculation season. It's ranking season. In the NFL, it's mock draft season. And in college football, it's a lot of hypothetical season. You know, it's the off season. So there's just a whole lot of talk. But I always do like to see, you know, whatever the national conversation is. And I looked at this article, and it was a article that was kind of collaborated with a bunch of the college football writers at ESPN.com, Alex Scarborough, Chris Lowe, Bill Connolly, Mark Schlabach. Even if you don't know those names, like, you've probably read their work and you've probably seen some of their things on ESPN.com. And it was all, you know, which players, coaches, teams have plenty to prove in 2023. That was pretty interesting. So I scrolled through really just to read and ultimately to see if LSU was mentioned or if Brian Kelly was mentioned in any of these categories. One says who is the coach with the most to prove. Had a whole lot of Jimbo Fishers in there, understandably so. Alex Scarborough says Nick Saban, which honestly, given what Alabama is, and what Alabama was this past season, I don't think he's totally off. Some people have said Steve Sarkisian, you know, don't really disagree. I think that pick your Texas school, whether it's Texas or Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher or Steve Sarkisian, those coaches have a lot to prove and a lot to improve upon in 2023. And to be completely honest with you, I was a little bit surprised to not see at least one of these writers name Brian Kelly. And you might think, well, you know, what do you mean? Like, Brian Kelly in his first year at LSU just got this team to the SEC championship, won the SEC West and beat Alabama, which is not something that happens frequently. It doesn't happen nearly as frequently enough as we would like as LSU fans. But I would say that was just year one. You know, if we're looking at Nick Saban, the winningest coach in the history of college sports, having something to prove this season, I would put Brian Kelly in that conversation as well. Just because you exceed expectations one year doesn't mean that you are rid of all expectations in the subsequent years. That's not how that works around here. We fired a coach a year and a half after he won the national title and had probably the most successful and best football team in the history of college football. Those are the expectations. You got to win, and you got to win quick. So I was a little bit surprised to not see Brian Kelly's name mentioned. But I scrolled to the next category column question. What team has the most to prove? And that's where I found LSU. And I'll be honest with you, I don't disagree. This is Alex Scarborough, and he has great work at ESPN.com. Go check him out. This isn't like a plug. It's just, I just like his work. He writes this. Texas A&M's struggles have been well documented. Alabama is looking to reassert its dominance, and Auburn is starting over. All of those absolutely would have, you got to show me more in 23, you know, label on them. But he says, yet it's another team in the SEC West that I feel like still has a long way to go. LSU. Yes, the Tigers vastly outperformed expectations in year one under Brian Kelly. True. They played solid. True. Fundamental football and didn't beat themselves. I don't know if I 100% agree with that overall, but sure. And of course they beat Alabama. Super important. but they were also wildly inconsistent. Unfortunately, true. So a week after beating the Tide, they went on the road and nearly lost to Arkansas. They then lost inexplicably to Texas A&M, followed by a lopsided loss to Georgia, which everybody loses to Georgia, but I'll continue. While they righted the ship and pummeled an overmatched Purdue team in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, I found myself wondering whether LSU is really ready to take advantage of a division that's in flux, especially with Alabama in transition. Will Jaden Daniels take the next step in his development? So on and so forth. I think that those are all very fair labels to put on LSU football. I really do. Where they looked stellar and dominant in so many games, yet will take a step back maybe week over week. And all of that being said, we have to look at it and understand that this was Brian Kelly's first year and that wild inconsistencies with a team that was put together vastly with the transfer portal and an offensive line that was consistently in rotation with receivers kind of, you know, a solid core of receivers, but, you know, the way that the wide receiver core panned out was definitely not how I expected it to, at least. You had a quarterback battle. You had four quarterbacks in the room at one point before Miles Brennan decided to retire from football. So inconsistency, I don't think is unexpected from a team like that, but it's still a fair critique nonetheless, that if you want to take the next step, if you want to be that team that I know Brian Kelly wants to be, that we all want it to be, of winning the West and going to Atlanta isn't just a once in an every few years kind of thing, that you can do it in year one and also year two, three, four, five, six, so on and so forth. You cannot be that inconsistent, especially in an era of the SEC West where Alabama's replacing both coordinators and a starting quarterback, and they're losing their best defensive player in Will Anderson. I mean, there aren't very many years for Alabama, quote unquote, rebuilds. They simply just reload. But if you look at the coaching situation as well, you know, there might be a little bit of a transitional period for Alabama. Look at Auburn, like this article mentioned, Auburn, you know, a new coach, quarterback situation is kind of a question mark. Auburn's having a downtime, down years. When you look at Florida, which who knows what the heck is going to happen to Florida moving forward. My goodness gracious. So there are so many Arkansas, another one. There are so many SEC West teams or opponents that LSU has, including Florida, that are maybe in disarray or have question marks, or we can anticipate maybe a down year for them in 2023. Is LSU fully prepped to take advantage of that? To take advantage of an SEC West where some teams may be in transition. You have to be a little bit more consistent. I have to see more offensively. You got to fix the special teams. So I think it is totally and completely fair to say that LSU has the most to prove. Because I didn't really have very many expectations for this team last year. Honestly, I said, and I will, you know, reiterate, I said the floor for LSU football could be 6-6. I thought maybe they could go 9-3. I said it really could be anywhere between that gap. And that's a massive gap, but we just didn't know what we had in this team. And Brian Kelly, we didn't know who the quarterback was, didn't know who the coordinators were. Like everything was a question mark. So I didn't really have any expectations. So when you go into a year with really, you know, if any expectations at all, pretty low, like 6-6 is pretty low expectations. And then you come in, you go 9-3 in the regular season and you beat Alabama and you go to the SEC championship. Well, I'm sorry, the bar just got raised by leaps and bounds. Is LSU going to be that team every single year that's going to be, and you don't have to beat Alabama every single year, but are you going to be in the conversation to win the SEC West every year? You should be, because what you did in year one, you should be able to recreate that in the subsequent years. So if you want to be that kind of team every single year where you're a threat to Alabama, you're a threat to Auburn, you're a threat to Ole Miss, you're a threat to Texas A&M, so on and so forth, then you're going to have to be consistently good year over year, and you're going to have to be consistently good week over week. Even though there may be some programs in the SEC West this year, and you could even make the same argument of the SEC West this past year, if you are going to compete in the most difficult division in the most difficult conference in all of college football, you're going to have to be consistent. If you want to be that team that I know Brian Kelly wants to be, I know what Scott Woodward wants this team to be, I know what I want it to be, I know what you want it to be, which is a consistent threat and consistently in the conversation for a college football playoff and for a national title, you're going to have to be consistently good year over year as well. But coming up next, in the same article, it says which players have the most to prove, which transfer portal players have the most to prove. And it's a kind of a macro conversation overlooking college football as a whole, but I'll focus in on LSU. Which LSU player has the most to prove going into 2023? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about FanDuel. So the midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe. It's secure. It is super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything. You've got the money line. You've got point scores to threes drained. And the best part about the NBA and betting on the NBA on FanDuel is you can also bet on futures. So the Lakers didn't really seem like they were going to be much of anything, you know, maybe a bubble team toward the end of the season, but the Lakers absolutely have heated up. So if you think that the Lakers are going to be able to make a splash in the Western Conference in the playoffs later this season, then go ahead and place a future bet on it and do it on FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel lets you even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/locked on. That is FanDuel.com/locked on to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, but make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. It's got everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So breaking down this article from ESPN.com, and again, it's a group of ESPN.com college football writers that came together and answered some of the biggest questions going into 2023. Which coach has the most to prove? Which team has the most to prove? Which player has the most to prove? And a lot of them in there were, you know, Arkansas's KJ Jefferson, maybe Quinn Ewers at Texas. If you're looking at it from a 360-foot view of college football as a whole, I would say Quinn Ewers absolutely probably is one of them. Arch Manning is in there. The fact that he's not even in college football and he already has something to prove just tells you something. But, you know, none mentioned LSU player, but I thought it was an interesting question to ask about LSU itself. Which player has the most to prove going into the 2023 season? And I feel like it might be obvious here. And maybe that's just my own bias coming through because it's what I think is most obvious. And maybe you think differently. If you do, let me know. I think it's Jaden Daniels. And I think you could say that about any quarterback ever on every single team, that the quarterback always has the most to prove. There's a reason why the quarterback position is the most important position in all of sports. But I think it's Jaden Daniels because I feel like Jaden Daniels' season is a microcosm of how Alex Scarborough described LSU, where they could look great in some games and then you could fall back and just barely squeak by wins or lose stupid games like they did against Texas A&M. Inconsistent, hot and cold, on and off. I feel like that's how I could have described Jaden Daniels a good bit too. Because you look at the beginning of the season and Jaden Daniels had a slow start against Florida State and then found his footing. And then you see against Southern, you know, I'll throw Southern out. Same thing against Mississippi State for Jaden Daniels. First half, finding his footing, trying to get acclimated, didn't look great, struggled to complete passes, was missing wide open receivers downfield. And then in the second half, the offense just absolutely popped off. And then you saw his game against Auburn. It wasn't a very good game at all. 80 total passing yards. That was a game that LSU struggled to win. It was a game where LSU struggled to get yards and put up points, and it wasn't until a scoop and score where LSU finally kind of like woke up and things got together, and even that game was too close for comfort. It was a 4-point win. And then we saw the game against Tennessee, and yes, Jaden Daniels threw for the most yards in that game than he had ever since his freshman year. Still wasn't a great-looking game. Still had plenty of receivers dropping balls, and you could say that was the receiver's fault or that was Jaden Daniels' fault. Whatever it might be, it wasn't enough. You still got your butt whooped. And then we saw the best three-game, three-week string from Jaden Daniels that we've seen all season long. Against Florida, he threw for 350 yards. He ran for over, you know, he ran for three touchdowns in that game. He had six total touchdowns against Florida. He had an outstanding game against Florida. Had an outstanding game against Ole Miss, threw for 250 yards and ran for over 100 yards against Alabama. The numbers weren't sexy. He ran for almost 100 yards. He threw for about 182. But Jaden Daniels did against Alabama exactly what LSU needed him to do. Move the football effectively, get into the end zone, don't turn the football over. So even though the passing yards aren't very sexy, he still was a key cog in the victory against one of the best teams in the country in Alabama. And I know they didn't make it to the college football playoff, but I still believe, even given, you know, some of Alabama's woes last year, Alabama was still one of the best teams in the country. And then after that three-game span where Jaden Daniels seemed to finally figure it out. Then we saw the game against Arkansas. And I know the weather. And I know that, you know, allegedly he had the flu in that game. I get it. I understand. But he still threw for less than 100 yards in that game. And that was a game that LSU struggled to put up yardage, struggled to put up points. So it's like this Jaden Daniels that only a couple weeks prior scored six touchdowns and threw for almost 400 yards against Florida, now is struggling to complete a pass against an average at best Arkansas team. So all of that to say, we know what happened with Jaden Daniels this past year. We know. Jaden Daniels has the most to prove for the same reason LSU has the most to prove. Prove to me that you can find more consistency to lead this team to get to where it wants to go, to build upon the season last year. It is not easy to beat Alabama 2 years in a row. That's the reason why very few teams have done it. It is not easy to get to the SEC championship 2 years in a row, considering your competition. I mean, Alabama's made it look easy, but we understand why. Georgia made it look easy. It's because their toughest competition has been in Florida. So it's not easy to do that. But if Jaden Daniels can come out and prove that he deserves to be the starting quarterback of this football team, that he deserves to be the starting quarterback at LSU, that means something now. And he's got to build upon what he did last year, improve the inconsistencies, and prove to me that he isn't some skinny little quarterback sitting back in the pocket that just jets off and runs whenever his first look isn't there. Prove to me that Jaden Daniels is more so what he was against Florida, what he was against Ole Miss, what he was against Alabama, more so than what he was against Arkansas or Auburn. That's what Jaden Daniels needs to prove to me. Because that is a crowded quarterback room. I think it's only going to get more crowded. Prove to me that you deserve that starting job. Prove to me that you can help LSU build upon what they did this past year. Jaden Daniels did some really good things. Jaden Daniels did some not so great things in 2022. Overall, I would say I'm more than pleased with what Jaden Daniels did in 2022. Do more in 23. That's really, I think, what we can ask of any player year over year over year. Get better. Improve and be more consistent. Coming up next, the final section of this article, which transfer portal player has the most to prove? Which transfer portal player has the most to prove at LSU? I'll get into that coming up next. So looking, when ESPN was looking at, you know, at the transfer portal players, really looking at all of college football, they really mostly mentioned quarterbacks. Rightfully so, like I said, most important position in all of sports for a reason. So Sam Hartman was a name that they threw out there, transferring from Wake Forest to Notre Dame. Devin Leary was also thrown out there as transferred into Kentucky. A bunch of names, a bunch of quarterbacks were thrown in there. But which transfer portal player has the most to prove at LSU? And this one was a little bit more difficult for me to think of, more so than which player has the most to prove. To me, Jaden Daniels felt obvious. I really had to think about this one. I had to think about it because it was easy to pick Jaden Daniels, one, because he's a quarterback, and two, because we already have a sample size of what he was at LSU. We've seen what he can do, and we've gotten frustrated when he wouldn't do the things that we've seen that he could do. So I asked myself, how, like, what do we really, what does a transfer portal player need to prove to me when we don't have a sample size? I understand a transfer portal quarterback has a lot to prove, but like, how do I define what a transfer portal player proves? And I realize maybe it's not just a transfer portal player, what they have to prove to me or to the fans, but maybe rather what they have to prove to the rest of college football. Maybe to prove everyone wrong, or maybe prove everyone right, really. What I mean by that is maybe this player was regarded so highly and had a really difficult year this past year and wants to prove that all the hype was worth it. So that's why I think the transfer portal player that has the most to prove this year is Denver Harris. One, because he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school in Texas. He was the 23rd ranked player nationally. Not corner, not 23rd ranked player in the state of Texas, which even that would be impressive. We know how much, you know, talent comes out of Texas. But the 23rd ranked player nationally per 24/7 sports. That's insane. He was a five-star transfer. He was very heavily recruited all throughout high school, was very heavily recruited via the transfer portal. But Denver Harris had a really difficult transition into college. Denver Harris had a really difficult year, honestly, and it's by no one else's fault but his own. He was suspended twice in the 2022 season. He was out for a total of 7 games throughout the season. He played in 5. In all 5 games that he did play, he did start. For whatever that's worth, if that tells you anything, of all the talent on that team at Texas A&M and really all that talent in that class, that recruiting class, and Denver Harris, a true freshman who had kept getting himself in trouble, was still consistently starting. That means something to me. When it would be so easy to say, oh, you know, you got in trouble, we're not going to play you anymore. So he's suspended twice. So in those 5 games that he did play, 14 tackles, he had 4 against Alabama and then a super close game against Alabama. Let's not forget how eerily close Alabama was to losing a few more of those games that they did win. Texas A&M. Also, to be fair, let's not forget how eerily close it was for Alabama to win the games that they did lose. Tennessee, a walk-off field goal, you know, LSU, overtime 2-point conversion, but I digress. So he played fine in the games that he did play, 14 total tackles in 5 games, 4 against Alabama, solid game for him. But he missed the game against Miami early in the season, about mid-September, due to a violation of team rules. He was suspended 1 game. To me, that's, you know, it's a curfew thing. I think it actually was a curfew thing. I think that came out later, but a violation of team rules. So you're suspended 1 game, so be it. You're going to be fine. You'll get over it. Learn from it. Don't do it again. Just learn from your mistakes. You're a freshman. You know, things are bound to happen, but just don't do it again. And then came the doozy when he was suspended indefinitely in mid-October against South Carolina at South Carolina in their 30-24 loss at South Carolina for a quote-unquote locker room incident. And I don't know if this has been confirmed. I dug throughout the depths of the internet to find out if it was actually confirmed. I doubt Texas A&M would ever confirm this or not. But Clay Travis did come out after that game and say it was because he and 3 other freshman players were smoking weed in the locker room at South Carolina. So stupid. That is so, so, so incredibly dumb. So Denver Harris and those other 3 players were suspended indefinitely for the rest of the season. So Denver Harris only got 5 opportunities to show that he was worth the hype. Now he comes to LSU, a team that he wanted to commit to going into his freshman season. It was high on his list. And then, you know, Coach Ed Orgeron got fired. A lot of question with the program. He decided to go to Texas A&M instead. So he comes to LSU. It's a fresh start. It's a new slate, you know, blank slate, whatever you want to say. It's a new start for Denver Harris. They want him here. They want him at LSU. So I think what Denver Harris has to prove to me is, one, can you keep yourself out of trouble? Like, how much do you love football? Because if you consistently break rules that keep you off the field, then clearly you don't love football that much. And I'm not accusing Denver Harris of that. Unless he continues to get into more trouble. And then I'll just look at him and say, look, dude, you've got so much talent, but I cannot continue to invest in a player who doesn't want to invest in this game. That's one thing. Prove to me you can stay out of trouble. And the second thing is prove to me that you are worth it. Prove to me that you are worth the hype, that you deserve that 5-star ranking. especially in a cornerback room that's kind of a toss-up right now. A cornerback room where you only had two returners coming back, no Seven Banks going to the NFL draft. You have one corner turning over from 22 to 23, and it's LaTerrence Welch, who had very, very, very little playing time in his freshman season in 2022. So Denver Harris is walking into a wonderful opportunity to get a lot of reps, to get a lot of time, and to prove to people, like, look, what my time at A&M isn't who I am, and who I am is grinder, you know, going to put in the work, and you're going to execute on the field. And he does have so much talent. He does have so much talent. I've seen clips of him in high school. I'm not going to act like I went to one of his games in high school. I've seen his clips on YouTube and on Huddle in high school. He's really good. You know, he's got stuff that you just cannot teach. That kind of speed, his kind of reaction time, his reflexes. You can't coach those kinds of things. And he has those. It's the reason why he was regarded so highly coming out of high school. Just prove to me that you can stay out of trouble. Prove to me that you can be a leader on this football team. And I think that that's fair. That's all you can ask. But that's going to do it for me today. Also, a little, you know, housekeeping thing. LSU did release the spring practice schedule. We knew that spring practice was going to start on March 9th. We know that the spring game is April 22nd, but LSU has five other dates throughout the month of March: March 9th, 10th, 21st, 23rd, 25th, and 30th, April 1st, 4th, 6th, 11th, 14th, 15th, 18th, 20th, and the spring game on April 22nd. Pro day will be March 29th. The coaches clinic will be April 13th through 15th. So just kind of keep those dates on your calendar, and we'll make sure to keep you updated with any news surrounding those dates as well. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. So for your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, coaches, and players throughout the basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.